Nah.
I hit it. I hit it.
Nah, let me get another wine. This is gonna be awesome.
I knew it would turn into this as soon as you said that you could make this happen, I was like, oh no. Like, I know what this is gonna be. Like, it's gonna be me and Dylan getting together the day before Easter, having a few, and here we are. All right, I better dive into this because there are people listening. So what's going on, everybody? My name is Colton. This is The Hunt Story. I just wanted to reach out and say happy Easter to everybody. This is probably going to get uploaded Easter Day. But happy Easter. Spend time with your loved ones. Get out, shoot your bow, shoot your guns. Get the kids involved. That's the best thing I can really spiel at this moment. So if you haven't already, be sure to give us a follow on Instagram at The Hunt Story Podcast and Facebook at The Hunt Story Podcast. And we've been actually getting quite a few emails in terms of hunt stories from people. And I think I'm going to do this. Now, hear me out on this. I got an idea. We're getting some merch. We're actually getting some merch. And I think the first order is going to be t-shirts. We're going to do some t-shirts. So this week and this week only, the best hunting story that I get via The Hunt Story Podcast at yahoo.com. The best hunting story that I get, or any social media platform, I'm going to send them a free t-shirt. I'm going to do it.
I love it.
I mean, you just send me your t-shirt size. I'll reach out to you and say, hey, you won. You won this giveaway. That's the best hunting story. I'm going to read it live on the air and say, this is the best one that I got. And yeah, I think that's going to be a really positive little giveaway. So be sure to reach out to us. Be sure to let us know your hunting story. I love hearing them. I love reading them. Just waiting to get some really good ones. I'd like to do an episode to where I can just kind of read through a few of them and just kind of almost do a montage where, you know, we got a lot of great guests lined up, but there are those weeks where I can't get somebody on. And I've actually taken a couple weeks off just to focus on actually shooting my bow and getting ready for turkey season. So I apologize for the wait in terms of episodes, but everybody that's still listening out there, I really appreciate it. So without any further ado, all that jazz is out of the way. That's my little 3-minute ordeal. I'm sitting here with somebody that I've known, well, a good portion of my life, if not all of it, because, well, I mean, let's face it. I mean, you've known me your whole life.
Yes.
You kind of had to deal with me your whole life. I'm sitting here with my cousin, my one and only cousin on the Osborne side of the family, Mr. Dylan Osborne. Dude, what's going on, man?
Dude, thank you so much for having me. I'm pumped to be here. It's cool to experience something that, you know, a family member can put together and bring the hunting community together. You hit me up and you're like, hey, I'm going to start this podcast. I'm going to call it The Hunt Story Podcast. I think we were actually sitting in a landscaping truck.
Yeah, probably. Probably doing some landscaping.
And you're like, hey, I had this on my mind. We might do this. And it's really cool to see it come to fruition. And I'm super pumped to be here today. So
you just said come to fruition. I feel like I've said that in every episode. If you actually go back and listen to every episode, which I do occasionally, I try to like listen to what I say and do in every episode, and I say come to fruition all the time. I gotta quit saying that because like it doesn't. I don't know.
I would say keep saying it. Honestly, I think it's a good saying to have in your repertoire of vocabulary. Yeah, absolutely. No, it's a good thing. It's a positive thing. You know, positive thoughts create positive realities. I know that's a crazy one, but no, 100%.
Well, cool. So Dylan, okay, you've been going through quite a bit, man. I mean, back and forth to different locations, and you got a little guy. Now you're married, dude, like, what do you do for work? How's the family? Like, you know, give me an update because I haven't seen you in a while, which actually kind of ticks me off because like we were pretty close there for a long time, seeing each other every day. And now I don't see a whole lot, but what's been going on, man?
No.
Give us an update.
I get it. And I have, I've been all over the place. I'm a firm believer home is where the heart is. And obviously, you know, here in Western Pennsylvania, my heart is steadfast and very grateful to be back around the family, but been a little bit, Phoenix, Arizona, Dallas, Texas, done a little bit of everything, chasing the dollar, sales industry work, if you will. I just landed a great gig with a company called Crank Golf, the world long drive guys. So if you've ever seen the guys out there in the football fields hitting them 400 plus yards, that's what we do. There's a branch of what we do called the Hero Program. So we raise money for veterans and first responders injured in the line of duty. It's really cool. It's really rewarding work. So just landed that. I take care of West Virginia and Pennsylvania now. So very excited to be back in the land of fantastic deer hunting.
Hell yeah. Yeah. What's it like? What's the hunting situation like in Arizona, in Texas? I mean, I don't know if you got to do any of it down there, but I know you're busy, but it is nice to be, like, this is a really deer hunting area. Like, you know, you'd be shocked how many people you just bump into all the time that's their lives. And yeah, it's something serious around here, that's for sure.
I mean, building off what you said, guys in Arizona would be like, oh my goodness, you're from Western PA. Mm-hmm. They were very... they aspired to come from where we grew up. So yeah. it was cool to chat with those guys. Obviously it's a different realm of hunting out there. I worked on a golf course. I was a greenskeeper out there for a little bit at one of the local clubs, in the Blacktail. I mean, just running along the course, world-class Blacktail. I'm
really?
Right along the White Tank Mountains. So it was pretty cool. I was out in the West Valley of Phoenix, but just 2 hours north of me, I mean, you could land a tag for a fantastic elk hunt. So I personally didn't get to experience any of that. I was in and out, and the time that I was there, I was kind of more focused on the little one and family and open heart surgery. Obviously, that was kind of crazy here in the last year, but no, it's definitely some great hunting out there in Texas and in Arizona. But, you know, being born and raised here in Pennsylvania and being an Osborne and growing up around what we did, it's nice to be home. So,
I don't care where you go hunting. Like, I've hunted Ohio, I've hunted West Virginia, New York, Texas, Georgia, Maine, Wyoming. I've hunted some states, you know, and I got a long way to go. I'd love to hunt all 50 of them just to say I did it. Even if I'm not successful, it's just to say that, you know, I got the experience of all 50 states and what it has to provide, you know, even if it's just for a day. But there is something to be said about a Western Pennsylvania hunting experience, and I don't care what you're going for, whether it's whitetail, turkey, bear, small game. You know, they do their best to kind of keep this really amazing tradition going, and we've been spoiled. We are spoiled kids. You know, I'm just gonna say it. We're spoiled with what we got here in Western PA. So, actually, speaking of like locations and everything, I know we're going to get into the hunting stories and everything here in a second. However, I was just looking at some of the statistics from the podcast here, and we got guys listening all over. Well, guys and girls, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to exclude anybody, but Louisville, Kentucky, Saskatchewan, Hermitage, shout out to right there. And yeah, that's one of my hometown there. Kalamazoo, there's somebody tuning in for every episode. So thank you, Kalamazoo. Let's see, Akron, Newcastle, Brooklyn, New York. There's somebody listening in Brooklyn, New York that hasn't missed an episode. So thank you so much for listening, to guys. I really appreciate it. But all those different areas and everybody out there listening, if you haven't done a deer hunt in Western PA and you can, just go for it. I mean, there's so many thousands of acres of potential hunting grounds. You would be hard pressed not to find a deer. You know, it's pretty easily done out this direction. And actually, I was just reading last night. I get Traditional Bowhunter magazine, and the PBS, Professional Bowhunter Society. They, not public broadcasting, Professional Bowhunting Society or Bowhunter Society. They, I am an associate member, great organization, and they have a hunt in WMU or WMA 2F this fall, and it's an archery hunt, and they got campsites reserved and everything, and it's for traditional bow hunter guys, and they're all part of the PBS. So if you haven't checked out that organization, do that. A lot of traditional bow hunters listen to this, so go ahead and do it. I feel like I've just been plugging everybody this whole, what are we at here, 9 minutes? I feel like we've just been plugging away here, you know?
I mean, in the hunting world, there's
kind of have to.
It's kind of tight knit, man. I mean, we're hunters are a different breed, so I would almost think that you're doing a good thing in doing that.
Agreed. Okay, so Dylan, you've been hunting your whole life. Yeah. What's your story, man? What's your story on hunting? And a big question I know that's on everybody's mind, and I asked this in previous episodes, what Disney princess do you most identify with and why?
Oh, wow. Dude, jeez. I tell you,
I hope Amy hears this.
That's not a question I expected to answer today on the list of questions that we drove over here. You know, I'm going to hold on that one. I'm going to think about it. But no,
we'll come back at the end of this.
I've definitely been, you know, hunting all my life. I grew up with Colton and his older brother, Cody. You know, as an Osborne here in Western PA, man, our dads were very tight-knit in the community, especially our grandfather, who for many years taught trapping. And I'm sure Colton will have an episode to explain all of that. But yeah, I've been hunting my whole life. I kind of grew up in the shadow of Cody and Colton. These guys were out achieving fantastic things in the hunting world from the Triple Trophy Pennsylvania called that?
Cody completed his Triple Trophy.
Would you believe that I completed it and I sent in to get it done and they discontinued it the year before?
Oh, shut up.
I am not kidding, Colton. I went out because I saw you guys do it and I'm like, that's so cool. My dad's like, hey, we're going to go do it.
I never did it.
Really?
Yeah, I've never gotten a PA black bear. You should apologize because, you know, I've never killed a Pennsylvania black bear. I have been close, though. I've been very close. You a lot closer than me because you've done it. I mean, but yeah, I have struggled in the bear realm. And honest to God, man, like, I just enjoy being in the bear woods. I take an open sight 30-30 and I'm like, you know what? If I get a 100-yard shot, I know I can do it. I'm just there for the experience, you know, truthfully, let's face it. Bear season was always getting together at camp, playing cards, having fun, having a few drinks, just enjoying time.
That's it.
And then everyone's up at the crack of dawn and we go out and just kind of sit in the woods and just enjoy it. You know, if you were in the vicinity and heard a gunshot, that's exciting. But for a lot of bear hunters, they're really just there for giggles. You know, it's not like we are planning on getting a bear. Deer season, different story. Turkey season, different story. You know, like that's, hey, this is very, very possible. We got a good percentage of chance of this happening. Bear season, it's like, we're just kind of here. But one morning, Dylan goes out, opening day of bear season. Dude, just get into this bear story. I want to hear it from you.
Man, this story is going to be a little different from my side because I was with you the night before. So
we don't have to get too into that.
No,
but we can.
No, definitely not. We'll just put it that way. You know, we had hung out the night before and we discussed the plan. We were going to go out. We were going to.
We had a plan. We had it all lined out. And you know what? I come up with my best plans when I've had a few.
And it was a great plan, honestly.
Well, thank you.
We were coming out of there and it was going to be a success. But obviously, you know. Father time catches up with us sometimes and those mornings the next day after can be a little rough. So I actually was trying to drag you out of bed and get you to come with me. And I get it. I was also in your boat, but my dad kind of gave me one last shove and he's like, hey, if you're coming, we're going. So I said, you know what? I'm going. So I got in the truck with my dad and took off over to the place we were at there. And I told him, I said, hey, I'm just going to go set up on the power line. I'm just going to go up here and hang out on the power line. It's good visibility. Maybe I'll catch one coming across. So he says, yeah, that's fine. I'm gonna cut back into the thick a little bit here. And he did. And I don't know what it was, but last minute, I just had this little tickling sensation, this little tingle that said,
got the feeling. Is that what you're saying?
I got the feeling.
Yeah.
I got the feeling. And it said, you should stand up and you should go walk 100 yards in front of your dad and cut him off from everybody coming across this top.
I'm like, you know what? I don't care where you're setting up.
I say that in a joking manner, but I mean, that's honestly how it happened. It, not by design. I was a little bit turned around at the time. I was a, you know, a younger guy just growing up, and getting.
How old were you? What year was this? 2012?
14. I was still new into the hunting scene. Obviously, you know, us growing up in Ohio and hunting a lot younger years, that was one thing, but I was still younger for PA years for sure.
Oh yeah. It wasn't, you know, you guys were close. I think legally you had to be close.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, so. No, actually I was well above that age. I was definitely what, yeah, I might have been, I think it was 15 at the time. And I don't, again, laws might have changed. Maybe I was 16. I think freshman year of.
But you guys were within the vicinity of.
Regardless.
Emergency happened. You guys are, yeah.
Okay. 100%. 100%. Yeah. So, the Amish always come across this top, and we know they're coming across the top.
Oh, yeah.
So we kind of position ourselves accordingly, and they did just that. And this bear comes running across, and I look down, and I'm like, holy cannoli, here we go. And I look, and all I can see is the head of the bear. Head and neck, I would say. So, you know, obviously on a whitetail, a trophy whitetail, I'm not going to take that type of a shot in you know, fear of scattering the horns or what have you. But with a PA black bear, you know, like you said, very few people get these chances. So
it really is a once in a lifetime ordeal.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely. So I took the shot, and it was a well-placed shot. I actually put the bear down, but I didn't know it. So I reload at the time. I'm like, oh man, I just missed my opportunity at a PA black bear.
Oh, you think you missed?
I think I missed.
Oh, okay.
Over the hill I go. I'm hoofing it down through the woods. It's probably a 100-yard dash. And
you're a big guy. Like, you're a tall, big guy. And just picturing you like reloading and running through the woods, that...
Well, now also, for the viewers and the listeners, also paint this picture and know that I was not always this tall. So I'm actually probably about 5 foot tall, 250 pounds at this time. I'm a
250?
I was a plump little pumpkin, buddy, let me tell you. So I probably could have rolled through the trees. I was I used to be very skinny fat, as they used to call it back in the day. But anyways, I run down through the woods. I thought...
Wait. I have never heard that in my life.
Skinny fat.
What is a skinny fat?
Oh, yeah, brother. So skinny fat is like you look skinny, but you take your shirt off at the pool, you're actually fat.
What?
Yeah, it sounds crazy. But us Osbournes, man, if you look here. I mean, we put all of our weight right here on the old beer belly. So, you know, the legs got nothing, the ankles nothing, the arms nothing, skinny fat. I mean, I have no better way to explain it to you.
I'm going
to
write this down. And Google this later. Skinny
so,
fat.
Getting back into it, I run down after this bear, right? I think that I have missed my shot. I get down there. I'm like, damn, man. You just missed your opportunity at a Pennsylvania black bear. Your dad's been trying at this for 30 years. Your uncle, your cousins, everybody's been trying. And you just missed your opportunity. And from behind me, I hear a low, gruntled roar is the only way I can explain it. I mean, it's...
Was it... Okay, so... Bears, a lot of black bears will do what they call the death moan.
Okay.
And it's kind of like a...
Very similar.
Okay. I wonder... What now, your shot placement, was it in the head? Because you said that's all you could see?
After looking back, after the fact...
I don't want to get ahead, but...
No. It went through the throat, so it was a little bit low, and it ended up, you know, contacting a little bit below the head.
You took the shot that you had, you know?
That's it.
Yeah.
I tried to just get a clean kill shot with a headshot, obviously, on a PA black bear. I plan on getting it mounted, but the name of the game is out there and enjoying the hunt and enjoying the experience you're enjoying. So, you know, you try to, you know, put that by the wayside and just experience and appreciate the fact that you have an opportunity at a PA black bear. So I, you know, I take the shot, I run down thinking I've missed, and then I hear this low death.
Now, was this behind you?
It's behind me.
Okay, so you ran past it.
Yeah, I had run past it a little bit, and I turn around, and this thing is running full-fledged right at me. I mean...
Oh, no kidding.
Straight up running directly towards me. So I ended up firing 5 shots.
Jesus Christ.
I know. 4 of them struck the target, so...
God.
It was kind of a crazy experience, and like we even look back and I analyze where my shots were at. I only had one misplaced shot that hit a little bit behind where it should have. So one shot went just below the head, and then I had 3 of the other 4 shots land in the vital zone. So I mean, it was crazy, man. And this is a 130-pound bear. This is a 2-year-old bear.
Yeah, this is a 2-year-old bear, 130 pounds. Which I mean, it, you know.
That's no cub.
No. You know,
that bear right there, the one that I got in Maine, was 127, I think. Okay. You know, right around that 130 mark. Let me ask you this. What caliber were you using?
So I shoot a 7mm.08. It's a Remington.
Yep.
A little bigger than a 243, a little smaller than a 270, or vice versa. But yeah, no, it's a great caliber. It shoots flat. It's great for killing deer.
Flat trajectory, little round deer killing machine.
Yes.
I would love to see a statistic how many 7mm.08 deer kills have been in Pennsylvania. I'd love to see that.
I would agree. And it's a great deer round. But that's where I've had the conversation with guys like you and my dad. I think I'm going to upgrade, you know, for the bear hunts and for the hunts of larger game, your elk and caribou. I need some.
You need a... Like, I got that 300 Win Mag.
Yeah.
And I bought that just in total preparation of, I want to go put something down in North America. I can put down just about anything in North America with a 300 Win Mag.
Yep.
And your dad uses that caliber. He's a fan of it. I put down a deer at 200 plus yards. I think it was just over 200 when I ranged him. You get into that 30 caliber prospect where it's got a little bit of oomph behind it. Cody's bear was half the weight of yours, but he was using... Did you ever talk to Cody on his caliber stuff?
No, never on caliber, just on the story of how it all happened.
338 Winchester Magnum. That is the moose is on the other side of the mountain, and you don't have time to, you know, stock it, so you got to shoot through the mountain caliber, like no problem with a 338 Winchester Magnum. That's a joke for everybody out there listening. That's a joke. Thanks for laughing, Dylan. But a 338 Winchester Magnum, Cody hunts whitetails with that. Whitetails. And I'm like, man, you know, I've taken him out with a 243 at, you know, a couple hundred yards. It's a great round, but... And he's using a cannon. I always make fun of him and say that, you know, he's going to go to whatever stand opening day. And I'm like, okay, so the artillery unit is going to be in the back 40, you know, at that stand. Okay, good to know, good to know. We can take him out at a mile. So 7mm.08, 24 rounds, and...
I'm sorry. What did you say? Six?
Yeah. Five shots at the.
Five shots.
I landed four of them. Yep. But no, honestly, crazy. I mean, to think if that was a big sow, and I get between her and her cub.
Oh my!
That's a whole other conversation. And yeah. There's a lot of guys that hunt up in our neck of the woods, if you will, and they use the pistols, the big Predator.
I never understood that.
I watched a guy shoot an ear off a bear, and that
ear.
Yeah, it put a sour taste in my mouth with the whole bear pistol hunting community.
So he's going for a headshot, which in my opinion is not like, come on.
You know, I get it.
I mean, put a vital shot on it and do the right thing. I understand guys that want to go right for the head, but at the same time, I don't.
Yeah.
You know, like, come on. The whole pistol thing, I mean, in a way, I'd rather see somebody do it with a bow in a tree stand.
Oh, 100%.
You know, like, I don't know. Don't get me wrong.
So it's a good point that you make there, and that's where, you know, I've kind of taken a different direction in my hunting years recently, in the last 3 or 4 years, where I've transitioned away from rifles, I've transitioned away from firearms. I find a lot more passion and a lot more enjoyment in going out and harvesting an animal with a bow. And now to see, you know, to sit here downstairs in the recording studio and to see all of your bows hung up on the wall, it's very, very cool, because I can see how passionate you've become about traditional archery. And obviously we grew up compound. I mean, we were crossbows. Grandpa shot a crossbow for many years because of his health, and it's all new. So it's very cool to see.
Bro, my dad wouldn't let me shoot with a recurve. Like and I understand. I mean, I was just a young punk that thought he knew everything. And Into a certain aspect, I still feel like I am a young punk that knows
everything.
We all everything.
Do. Yeah. We all do.
I haven't grown up yet. I really haven't. Yeah, I pay monthly bills, but but I haven't grown up yet. So there's a part of me where I just want to prove to myself I can do this if needed. And I this community of traditional archery, I cannot explain it other than just a wonderful family. It's great. So, you know, yeah, the whole traditional thing, I'm extremely passionate about it, and I'm really involved with it. But what I was getting at was that Dad always ingrained in our heads, Cody and I growing up, that if there is a better way to do something, a more efficient way to do something, that is the only way to do it.
Yep.
Period.
Yep.
Once they legalized crossbows in Pennsylvania for everybody, he went and bought the top of the line crossbow. And okay, I respect that.
Absolutely. 100%.
And as much as my dad ticks me off sometimes, you know, I respect why he wants to hunt. He's going for horns. Okay, cool. I get it. I hunt for watching the woods come to life in the spring. I hunt to, you know, see what's going on in the fall, watching the leaves change, harshing the harsh weather. You know, I that's what I live for, the elements, I guess, in a weird way, and the challenge behind it. And then I almost live for the challenge and the suffering of doing it with a traditional bow. It's so funny. The traditional bow has been around since almost the dawn of time. You know, I mean, you can look back on traditional archery and see evidence of it to years that we can't even comprehend right now. You know, cave paintings and then, but way before literature even started. So, you know, when you pick up one of those, that time period from when man was first dawning to today, that difference in time seems to shrink. You know, you grab one of those and it's like, whoa, you know, like this was, I'm picking up ancestor stuff here.
Yep.
And to be able to go out and do that today in 2024, I can't think of a more rewarding aspect of hunting. You know, that's just me. So yeah, that's why I like to hunt. Now, my dad, on the other hand, he crossbow, 338 Winchester Magnum, I'm going out to put him down, period. You know?
Western gunslinger is how I would categorize that man.
But I hate to go on a rant about that, but like, I can see your interest in it, man, and
yeah.
I'd love to see you do it. And you got enough experience under your belt, man. I think, you know what? I'm going to just say it. We should record this, and let's just go shoot some bows. Like, I think it's done raining.
100%. Okay, I've been eyeing up you. So just to give everybody in the audience a little backstory, I had open heart surgery last year. It was pretty crazy. Long story short, I have a metal plate and about a 13-inch incision on my chest. I'm not allowed to draw very much weight. So I've had to kind of get away from the compound world where I drew 60 pounds, and it was a very heavy weight for everything that I was dealing with in the healing process of this. So I get to talking with Colton today, and we just got into the bows that he has hanging here on the wall. And for those of you that have not been in his studio here, his recording studio, he's got all of his bows hung on the wall, less a couple that he's letting some good buddies learn the trade, if you will, with.
I swear to God, Josh, if you break that bow, if you're listening out there, buddy, I swear that is like one of my all-time favorite bows. And I'm like, well, he was shooting it so well. I mean, it's a Tolke 64-inch whip. If you guys haven't checked out Tolke's bows, go check out their website. Unbelievable craftsmanship bows, beautiful. But my buddy Josh is shooting it so well, I'm like, man, just hang on to it, enjoy it, shoot it, you know, take your time, learn this art form, if you will. And he's been doing it really, he sends me pictures of like his groups all the time. I'm like, man, you're doing really good. So
I'm going to talk over you, man. That's why I love you so much. That's the type of guy that you are, dude. Me? I am going to talk over the host because, dude,
this is my show.
You know what? Whatever. You know we're talking the bows. $1,600 bow. You just let your buddy hang out with it. That's what I really am starting to appreciate about the trad community and why I want to become a part of it, because that's cool, man. I, you know, obviously growing up in the golf world and the golf industry, you know, I'm more of a golfer than a hunter. I'll be the first person to say that, but I can appreciate the newest technology on the market or the oldest technology on the market that's been around for, you know, hundreds of years. It's tried and it's true and all the greats used it. And to see Colton getting more into the traditional nature and getting away from what's hot or what's popular at the moment and getting back to the roots, man, it means a lot. It's very, very powerful. It's very cool to see doing what you're doing right now. Okay.
So golf community.
Yeah.
What was that golfer's name? Sam.
My favorite, John Daly. He smokes cigarettes and drinks
Daly.
Beer.
He's my favorite, dude. Yeah. Did you see that interview with Tucker Carlson, Kid Rock, and John Daly?
What?
Could you imagine walking into that room with like a case of Miller Lite and being like, hey guys.
Well, you know, I it might be too soon to make the joke, but I think he was just out shooting a case of Bud Light with a firearm, so at least you walked in with Miller Lite. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see that interview with Joe Rogan, the Kid Rock with Joe Rogan? Dude, awesome. And you know what? The interview went... I'm sorry to all the Bud Light drinkers out there.
I'm so sorry.
Kid, I don't think he actually meant to, like, destroy Anheuser-Busch the way that he did. Yeah. Because I'm telling you, I think they took a hit when he did that.
Bill Gates had to buy them.
Yeah.
Bill Gates had to go in and buy Anheuser-Busch because of their sales losses. Yeah, it's been crazy.
Think about that. A redneck freaking, you know... I'm not saying Kid Rock's redneck. He's like one of my idols.
Same. But love that man.
He's a good dude. But, man, he put a hurting on them because he just went out and said, F you guys. You
know? Yeah.
I mean, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
But I guess, I mean, what I'm getting at is, okay, Slammin' Sammy, remember the golfer? Okay, the golfer that set the course record at Tam-O-Shanter.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he could crush the ball like 300 plus yards, and he showed up to Tam-O-Shanter, set the course record, and never played it again.
Just walked away from it.
Walked away.
I'm good. Know?
And there's multiple videos, and I've referenced this before in previous podcasts that I loved golf, and there's multiple videos of Slammin' Sammy playing against, I don't know if it was Arnold Palmer or whoever it was, but guy was really good. Now, what they're using.
Or Simmons.
I mean, blades. They were using blades, man. And nowadays, we got these fat golf heads, you know, for the irons and stuff that are so forgiving. We got soft golf balls that are forgiving. You know, back then, they're using stuff that we wouldn't even think about using today.
Yeah, yeah.
The wooden shafts on these golf clubs. I mean, come on. But it's very similar with what we pick up today as traditional archery. You know, yeah, there you can shoot a bow that was made in, you know, the early 1900s and you know, shoot it just like everybody else did back in the day. You can also pick up a bow that was made just yesterday at the Fred Bear factory and have similar aspects to it, but there have been improvements, and I enjoy the improvements for especially newbies because, you know, they need a little forgiving aspects, But the point I'm getting at, Dylan, is that if I were to go play a round of golf right now with my set of irons and my 3-wood that I'm a killer with.
Yeah.
I'm a killer with that 3-wood. But if I were to go play a round with that versus playing around with just straight blades and old school golf.
The old persimmons, man. Yeah, the old persimmons.
It would be a whole other ball game.
It would.
I would be well over 100, I'm sure.
Let's have a conversation about how much you would appreciate the history and appreciate what golf was. So Andrew Carnegie and J.P. Morgan made the biggest deal in the history of ever selling his oil and gas rights.
Right.
St. Andrew's Golf Course. I gave a speech about this with, oh goodness, what was his name? Clarion University. He was the public speaking teacher. You had him, and you told me to take my class with him. Goodness,
I didn't tell you to take that class. I think I said, don't take this class.
Well, he was a golfer, and the second I hopped up on the desk to give my speech, he was a great guy. He was in radio. Hissom. Yes.
Hissom.
Professor Hissom, Dr. Hissom. Great guy. He spent many years in radio, and just to give a, be able to give a speech on golf and all that it has done for it. I guess what I'm trying to say is I very much so relate the passion and the history that goes into that with what we do here. You know, I'm looking at a picture that is probably one of 100, one of 10, one of 1,000. I don't know.
Maybe.
It's a picture of Fred Bear signed on your wall. I mean, that's huge. And that's the type of history that people in your industry and in your realm of work and in your scope here in the trad world, they look up to that. And that's where, you know, I still shoot a Fred Bear to this day. I'm a Fred Bear loyal.
You have a Fred Bear bow?
I do.
Dude.
What model bow do you have?
Well, I got to tell you, brother, it's a pass down from my dad. And that's where, you know, I come onto this podcast. I should know what model bow I shoot. I don't. I know it's a Bear. I know that my dad gave it to me and he shot it for the better part of 10 years before he gave it to me. So
I'm
not up and up on all the, you know, the latest technology or the most expensive bow, but I really enjoy going out and either A, shooting the target in the backyard and training with my family, or B, going out and enjoying a hunt with my dad that did that with his dad, and his dad did that with his dad. And, you know, obviously, you know, being an Osborne, that really hits home for us. So it's super cool to get out and just to experience nature, archery. I listened to a story. It was Fred Bear or Ted Nugent, one of the two, but he said if a young man wanted to go out and experience what he's experiencing in the world of, you know, drinking and drugs and all this thing, if he wanted a true adrenaline passion, he would go out and chase a wild game animal with a bow.
Dude, so let me back you up on more of that. Ted Nugent is a huge, huge rock star. Very passionate about everything that he does. And I can relate to a lot of what Fred has to say. You know, he did that PBS broadcast where he said, you know, he just spit facts of like, you know, I'd rather see the guy who was trying to hurt so-and-so just be shot dead and get done with it. And I hate to get into politics too much, but man, he makes some points where you just say, yeah, I'm on your side, Ted. I get it.
You can resonate with that man for sure.
Yeah. And, but I guess what I'm getting at is that I kind of, for a few years there, I lived that little bit of a rock star lifestyle.
You did?
We were playing with the band every weekend or maybe throughout the week. We were playing different bars and clubs and I saw what, I saw a lot of what drugs and alcohol were doing to people, and it was killing them. I mean, you know, you'd play a club one weekend, meet somebody, 2 weeks later, they're dead. Like, that happened multiple times. We played in Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Youngstown.
Battle of the Bands at the Rex Theater, brother. Yeah, I was there.
That was a fun one. That was a good show. That was a lot of fun. But I met some amazing guys, talented musicians, talented, I'm going to say this, talented club owners that knew what they were doing. But then you hear, you know, a month later, they're dead, a drug overdose, whatever it was. And I loved living like a rock star. I mean, between the, I'm just going to say it, the girls coming up to you after the show, the money, the adrenaline of being on stage. I loved performing.
You rocked out, man. I saw you multiple times here in Newcastle come and play. I'd bring girls to come see your show because it was a blast. I'm with you.
I loved every second of being on stage, man. Even just walking out and just setting stuff up. I loved being on stage. And I know that my bandmates, they all felt the same way and they loved seeing us do our thing. But Dude, that lifestyle catches up with people. Yep. And Ted Nugent has said it multiple times. I saw it, you know, he said that he had a bass player just basically die in his arms because of a drug overdose. And as much as I loved being up there, it was going to kill me. It was going to kill me. And once you lose that adrenaline high and your band breaks up or whatever it may be, once you lose that, you're always fighting to get it back. It's like a drug. And I just said, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. And it's not that I don't want to do it. If the guys from Insulin were to call and say, hey, let's do a reunion show, I'd be there in a heartbeat.
Ball and chain, baby. Used to listen to that all the time.
You know, Kelvin would, you know what, we got to get Kelvin on this
you
show.
You need to get C-Chat up here.
We need to get C-Chat in here. He played for us one show.
Did.
We played at AJ's 21st birthday party. That was Oh my God.
Pretty sure he also had to play for you at Battle of the Bands.
Because
I think
the
bass guy pulled out on that and he stepped up.
He did it.
Went out. And it was awesome. We had a mosh pit, dude. That was intense. It was a lot.
A lot of good times. But, you know, Fred Bear or Ted Nugent, whoever said that, I want to say that was Ted. But they're so right because you want to talk about your heart racing out of your chest. I can only imagine how you were feeling when you saw it. You know, I can only imagine what you're squeezing the trigger on your first buck. You know, missing, even missing. It might be the most depressing feeling in the world of missing, but your heart is beating out of your chest. You cannot replace it with anything else in this world. And I've lived that crazy rock star lifestyle, and I would choose hunting and the outdoors over that every day of the week, every day.
And honestly, man, I got to tell you, that's where I'd love to see the youth find your podcast. And so, like, you know, I'd even go as far as saying, like, you know, viewers out there that are, you know, listening to this, share this with somebody that you think would want to get involved in the outdoors. Because we are two very, especially Colton. I mean, I look up to this man. I've looked up to him to my, you know, my entire life. I'm going to do it. You know, from hunting to being a man to conducting yourself in this world, I have gained a lot of knowledge and a lot of experience from Colton. So that's where I'd love to see the youth find this podcast and just find something to resonate in, find something to listen to. You know, it doesn't have to change your life overnight, but I got to tell you, I really appreciate that you've set this up for not only us, but the people listening to us.
I tell you what, you want to talk about something that'll change your knife. Change your life overnight. Change your knife. Don't change your knives. You want to talk about something that'll change your life overnight. There are so many different aspects to hunting that you're going to find your niche. You know, I mean, Tuco upstairs. I got a beagle that'll run rabbits. Have you ever met the rabbit hunting community? Dude, they are a tight-knit group of people, you know, and it's nothing but fun and success with those guys. Then you got the traditional archery hunters. You got the long-range rifle hunters. You got the pistol hunters. You got the flintlock guys. You got the waterfowl. Waterfowl, oh my God, alone, there's 400 subcategories of that, you know? It's a blast. So, yeah, I appreciate that, Dylan. The youth getting them involved, and anybody that has youth in their life out there, please just get them, take them, force them to go like my dad did or our dads did.
Yeah,
you know, force them to go. It could really change their lives.
And just to build off that, man, I gotta tell you something about building discipline in young men and young women out there. And you know, you might feel like you're forcing them to go hunting sometimes. This is something that hits very close to me, man. I used to load up in the truck and drive to Lisbon, Ohio to go hunt down at Brush Creek with my dad all the time.
Wait, the Brush Creek thing. Is that where you missed that buck?
No, that was mosquitoes on one of those drawn hunts. Remember we used to get drawn for those?
Should we end this episode and then make that the next episode?
You know what? That actually would be a great idea. Plus, we could talk about how people can get their young ones involved in going to apply for those hunts, because I'd love to see people do what we did, man. It was awesome. So, that sounds good.
Well, okay, so I have to explain this to everybody because, you know, I just have to explain it to everybody. I used to say, my name's Colton, this is the Hunt Story. Well, now I say,
hey, you should wrap this up and say, my name is so-and-so. And
I'd be happy.
Wrap it up, Dylan. Let's go shoot a bow. We'll come right back.
All right. Sounds good. Hey, thank you so much for tuning in today. My name is Dylan Osborne, and this is the Hunt Story Podcast.
Bitchin'.